Hey, fannies, it's Andrew, half of Hey Kids Comics, the show that you are listening to on the Jedi Cold Network. And I'm not here to present a podcast to you. I'm here to actually talk to you a little bit about an upcoming event. And to join me, Kelly Long, guest of the show, and kind of big kahuna for this thing. So, Kelly, what are we talking about?
Hey Andy, thanks so much. So, what is coming up in the Boonshoff Museum of Discovery in Dayton, Ohio on June 21st and 22nd? We're going to have a geek prom and a geek fest. So, the geek prom section is on Friday night. We're going to have dancing, we're going to have live music. It's 21 and up, and it's $20 to get in. You get a drink, and you get some snacks, and you get to support the museum. That is the fundraiser section of Geek Fest. Geek Fest is the all-inclusive day. It's going to be from 10 to 4. We're going to have kids costume contests, the planets of Star Wars and the planetarium, the planets of Star Trek. We're going to have a new space exhibit that is debuting that weekend of Geek Fest that I can't really talk about because it's super secret, and Klingons and way more.
Super excited about those Klingons, by the way, ladies and
I
gentlemen. Super excited.
Super.
And where do people buy tickets for this bad boy?
To catch tickets for the event, you have to go to www.boonshoftmuseum.org. You can purchase tickets for the event. You can purchase raffle tickets. And if you want to feel like you may, if you feel like you need to make a donation to the museum, you can also do that there too. We are a nonprofit, so this raises money to help feed the animals in our accredited zoo, to keep all of our natural history collections intact, and to be a service to the community.
Also, you get all of that and you get to feel good about yourself. That's amazing. And I'm going to be there hosting costume contests and doing trivia and just generally being a jackanape about town. What's not to
Can't
love?
miss it.
You can't miss it. Come down to Crazy Andy's. Get some pizza. See a Klingon. Don't touch a sloth. At the Boonshoff Museum. June 21st and 22nd. Buy the tickets on the website that I can't remember the.
www.boonshoffmuseum.org.
That's the one, ladies and gentlemen. So now we're going to throw you back to your regularly scheduled programming, but don't forget June 21st and 22nd. June 21st and 22nd. June 21st and 22nd for Geek Fest. Going to Geek Fest because it's the best they got Klingon. So bring on the fun. I added another line to the song.
Ooh.
To you live from inside the globe, perched high atop the Bugle Planet building in sunny Gotham City. It's Hey Kids Comics with two guys who are always ready to seduce the innocent, your hosts, Andrew Farmer and the Jedi Cole Houston. And now it's time for Hey Kids Comics.
Ladies and gentlemen, and also our fannies, see, trickery. That's what this is all
Oh,
about. Yeah.
That was an amazing feint there.
I ducked and I wove. That's part of what we're talking about tonight. You know, it's all about misdirection when you get down to it.
Yeah, it's all in the woving.
Speaking of misdirection, this is Hey Kids Comics. I am Andrew Farmer, as always, the other co-host of the show and producer, the Jedi Cole Houston. Are you out there, Jedi Cole? I heard your voice, I think.
I am indeed. I was trying to stay in the shadows, but I have such a ghastly pallor naturally.
Yeah. Speaking of ghastly pallor, apologies for the skip week last week. I was down for the count. I still have a literal ghastly pallor. So, but we're back this week. We are ready to, we kind of called an audible here, Cole. We decided that we were going to go back to a well that, while we, I think we did it justice in the last issue, it's time to, we're going to hit it back up again. Cause there's some things we missed that we wanted to talk about.
Absolutely. And I felt like, you know, we were very much concentrating heavily in the Shang-Chi story on his relationship with his, you know, worst absentee father ever.
Right.
And everyone, you know, pretty much everybody who becomes part of, you know, he gets embroiled in the life of Nolan Smith and MI6 and all this because his sister's working for the Brits and his father's arch nemesis kind of becomes his mentor. So, you know, we had a lot of fun with the whole Fu Manchu thing and
Sax Rohmer and all of that.
So I got to thinking about the fact that as we were exiting that story, we didn't really talk enough about Shang-Chi himself, in the sense that when I was putting together some of the flavor art, there was this great panel I threw in where Sumo, who apparently is just simply known as Sumo, Fu Manchu is telling him, Sumo, you are just a wrestler. My son is a living weapon. And I should not have even attempted any kind of voice with that.
That
was a very American sounding voice.
That's okay.
So it was closer to Peter Sellers' Fu Manchu than, like, but still, I was trying to think, you know, God, it's there's still an era of those of us who are very much aware of the generations before us as, you know, growing up as white kids and recognizing as adults there was a lot of just kind of, what was the word they used in Alien Nation, the TV series one time? There's something like, you know, like well-meaning racism or something like that, or, you know, friendly racism.
Right.
And you start to, you know, reflect on your past self as being like, well, you know, we weren't really anti anybody, but there were all these things that were part of the vernacular when we were growing up that thankfully are starting to dissipate. But
I'm just waiting to see if you can save yourself here.
I'm going to go ahead and move on. So what we're looking for is, because of that one line about him being a living weapon, it kind of jogged my memory about a lot of what the Master of Kung Fu series was like.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Just, there was so much. We definitely did the live Hey Kids comics, but we also had shows about it where panel to panel, if you go pull up like panels, or if you collect them like Cole really, really does, and I do, and, you know, when I have the money to go bin digging and buy old Shang-Chi or Masters of Kung Fu comics, the translation to the page of motion with these comics is nothing short of amazing. It's kinetic. You can feel it. And that's the coolest thing for me about, you know, when you're translating Shang-Chi as the peak of physical fighting, you know, and I love the fact that the one thing that they did in Shang-Chi, which there's a lot of Batman. Cole and I went over a lot of Batman comparisons earlier. There's a lot of Batman comparisons. One of them is, you know, there's this idea that Batman has mastered all. Remember the Batman episode we did where the records state that Batman has mastered every form of martial arts? They never say that about Shang-Chi. They just say that he's the best trained fighter there is. You know, better, you know, he's a better trained fighter than Iron Fist. He's the best trained fighter in the Marvel Universe. Not that he knows every fighting style, but, you know, the way that they translate that to the page is fantastic. Like, it's exciting to read. And there aren't a lot of comics that are like that.
Exactly. And it's best, which was like under Mike Zeck and, oh, I'm drawing a blank on his name, and I blamed Jim Lee for his death. Gene Day.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, okay.
You know, were a couple of the artists who got the whole idea, and especially there are some issues where you have both of them, you know, working on the same issue. And
well, they, and if you look at, and I'm trying to remember, and I don't want to pull them up, but I will. There are certain issues of Shang-Chi, certain old ones, because so many of the ideas for Shang-Chi, especially later,
yeah,
were based on Bruce Lee. I mean, it's obvious, right?
He starts life as a Bruce Lee clone, essentially.
Right, and a lot of the mannerisms kind of stay the same. Yeah. And there's this idea, if you're a fan of Bruce Lee movies, which I am in passing, I'm not a aficionado by any means, but I've seen a lot of them and I rewatch a lot of them because they're just so much fun. But there's this idea, if you watch a Bruce Lee movie, or even Green Hornet, he does it all the time in Green Hornet, where he's about to F some stuff up, right?
Oh, yes.
And there is a – you know before he does it. Like, he'll – his demeanor changes and his stance changes as he's walking mm-hmm. into that situation, and they translate that to the page. Where, you know, he's very, very relaxed, like Shang-Chi will be very relaxed, and then all of a sudden it goes down, and you can, from panel to panel, you can see him, and you get excited, the same way you do when you see Bruce Lee in a Bruce Lee movie, when he walks into a room and like 17 guys jump out of the rafters, and you're
exactly.
like, oh shit, it's about to go down, and that's exactly what you get from these books, too. That was something I was reminded of as I was going back over research and digging old comics out.
Oh yeah, and it's wonderful to go and look at these, and you also get these incredibly over the top characters like Master Kung Fu 61, the Savage is the Skull Crusher, and Skull Crusher has this, you know, ball on a long chain kind of martial arts weapon, but he's also got this bizarre garment that it's the, you know, these trailing it's only a cummerbund with these trailing weights on it. It's like, you know, really, that's
what you're going for?
Yeah, that's gonna be, it seems like, terribly likely to impair your ability to move around. So, you know, here he has all manner of weaponry, and you know, is a formidable adversary rather, and Shang-Chi really pretty much holds his own with just a shovel that does get broken, but spoiler alert,
if it comes out in the movie, you know that shovel's getting broken.
Yeah, that's right, and watch him pull a fast one and it doesn't. But you know, that's what's so neat about him, is that, you know, Shang-Chi himself is often quoted as saying weapons are for the weak.
Right.
But he's not above using them if he has to.
Right. He doesn't need a weapon. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Do you know why he doesn't need the weapon?
Because he's Shang-Chi.
Because he is the weapon.
Yeah. That's, I mean, why. He is. He truly is. And I think that's what's really cool about the character, is you have here you have a character who is the ultimate of the human condition. He is sort of much like Batman without the necessity of being the knight. He's basically able to, you know, run around and fight every adversary armed with every conceivable weapon, because like you say, he is the weapon, and he's going to, you know, he can jump out there and just literally hand everybody their ass because he's that good. And that's exactly what Fu Manchu wanted.
Yes.
From him. He wanted his son to be this, you know, forged in the tradition of our ancestors, to quote Fistful of Yen from
well, so
Kentucky Fried Movie.
To go back to Batman a little bit, because you and I were talking about this off mic, and I think it bears some talking about here, and yeah, that is this. Shang-Chi is, number one, I thought about this too, so would make probably the ultimate Green Lantern. I compare everything to the Green Lantern. I think Shang-Chi would make the ultimate Green Lantern, because it's all willpower based. But beyond that...
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Beyond that, Shang-Chi is the anti-Batman. He's the opposite of Batman. You know, if you look at the lineage of Shang-Chi, Shang-Chi came from a very, very powerful lineage, house, father,
yes.
Lots of money, lots of power. He eschews all of that to travel with nothing, whereas Batman took all that and used it to fight crime. You know, Batman's entire ethos, well, I guess it'd be pathos, is based in fear, whereas Shang-Chi prefers to work in the light of day. He prefers
well, I think to... that his ethos or his mythos or his...
Yeah, Orthos and Aramis.
Yes, is discipline. Everything, the big takeaway that Shang-Chi has from his upbringing, which, you know, was literally the most absentee upbringing imaginable, is this very Eastern philosophy of being the most disciplined.
Sure, yeah.
So body and mind, he is incredibly disciplined to the point that he does not seek the fight but will not walk away from it.
Sure.
And I think that's where he differs from a lot of especially action heroes in comics.
Right.
The fight generally comes to him.
That's I agree with that. And unless it involves hunting down his dear old dad, because he will take the fight to dear old dad.
If dad pokes the bear, then Shang will poke back.
Yes, that's agreed upon. So it's widely recognized that Shang-Chi is the master, Marvel's martial master, right?
Yes.
He is taught, he has been the instructor, the martial arts instructor for most of the Avengers. He, you know, he has fought Iron Fist with the Iron Fist to a literal standstill. You know, he, I believe in your favorite instance, what's he do?
Well, I mean, some of the best things are he incapacitates the Thing.
Yes.
From the Fantastic Four, people.
Right. Well, doesn't he take a chunk out of Man-Thing?
Oh, yeah. At one point, he does actually go head-to-head with Man-Thing. And I think that the idea was, you know, the old adage of whatever knows fear burns at Man-Thing's touch.
Sure.
As one would expect. And the fact that, you know, I think they just wanted to epitomize that Shang-Chi is completely devoid of fear.
Right.
You know, growing up under Fu Manchu, he kind of had to be.
Right. You learn to compartmentalize pretty quickly.
And we're going to try something here. I think that, you know, since we are talking about the disciplines of the martial arts and the training of others in martial arts, who better to bring on the show than our own Martial Arts Hall of Famer, One Master Bobby Blakey, who is both a martial artist and an artist. Welcome, sir.
I guess I'm a mediocre at both.
Well, I am bowing to my sensei nonetheless.
I will say this. Bobby has taken me to the mat at many a convention, in his own home, and I believe just on the street. So I think you're very qualified to be here. We do call you unmountable for a reason.
Yes, indeed.
Well, for a lot of reasons, but we'll go with it this reason.
Right.
It fits the theme of the show. Welcome, Bobby. We are talking about one Shang-Chi, master of Kung Fu, whose hands are the subject of his own title.
Yeah.
Being as they are deadly.
And they are, in fact, people hands.
They are.
They are, in fact, they people are.
Unless they're, unless, and let me ask you this, technical martial arts question, Bobby. When you assume the eagle claw stance or the dragon punch stance, does your hand change from people hands to the animal of your stance?
Well, it depends on your level. It's one of those things we're not allowed to discuss with a normal person.
Got it.
I understand. But
got it.
We're just lay people.
It usually moves so fast you can't tell the difference. You just feel the pain.
He's so good.
Oh, okay. Well, I think that's all we need to know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
I think it's safer if we just leave it at that.
So
exactly.
So, Bobby, in reference to this topic, right? What do you know about Shang-Chi outside of, like, that he is a master of kung fu? Could you take him?
Outside of his headband and his billowing pants?
Yeah, his billowing pants. Are those crucial to his kung fu style?
You know, it's funny. He's one of those characters that I was always a huge fan of, but I never read a lot of his books. It was like, I believe my, obviously the martial arts stuff, I was always more looking at the images of, I think, trying to see how accurate they caught the kick or the movement or how he stood or whatever. My dad read the book regularly when I was little.
Okay.
And I remember being infatuated with seeing him, especially once I got more into the martial arts, and seeing that if he's doing a jumping sidekick, did they draw him with his foot turned in the right direction, or did it even matter? Because, you know, a lot of times they don't pay attention to that. They just draw him kicking somebody across the face.
Yeah, well, and also it happens so fast.
They may not be able to see it.
So, like, I know, if I'm not mistaken, I know he's, what, Fu Manchu's son or something like that.
Yeah, very good. That was the topic of our last issue, Foo Fighters.
Oh
yeah, that was the name.
Copyright
of it. This is Fu Man Do.
That's right.
Oh.
Otherwise known as the Deadly Hands of Kung Tu.
But you know, it's funny is for all of my martial arts obsessiveness, I never read a lot of the martial arts comics. Like, I always loved the characters, like him and Iron Fist and any ones that would pop up.
That's pretty remarkable because you had both a martial arts enthusiasm and a comic book enthusiasm.
Yeah, but you know.
Yeah, I have no idea why. There was no reason behind it.
I remember if I grabbed
some of the old issues, I would immediately read them. If they popped into an issue, I couldn't wait to see it. It was, I don't know if it was an, maybe it was the artist on them I wasn't a fan of, or because my younger days of comics was all about who the artist was.
Oh, no, that's understandable.
You know, so if it was an artist that wasn't, you know, if it's the 90s, it wasn't one of the Jim Lees or Liefelds or McFarlanes, I'm like, I don't care about what's going on.
Well, I get it, Bobby, because, like, it was really hard for me to read, you know, comics about, like super genius, you know, like Don Juan types when I was that age because, you know, they just couldn't get it right. I was living that life, and they couldn't get close, so
yeah.
I understand. I get it. I get it.
You know, it's worse now trying to watch a movie or read a comic or anything with that stuff because now I pick it apart way more.
Right? Oh, yeah, I'm sure, especially as a reviewer, you're looking at everything with a much more critical eye than you did maybe in your youth.
And you know what? It's not even the review side. It's my martial arts side. Like, I don't watch a martial arts movie the same as other people. And my wife always gives me crap about it because, like, for instance, with John Wick that just came out, I'm like probably right on the cusp of drooling. I'm focused so much watching the fight. And I'm watching every move and twist. I'm not engaged in what they're doing so much as I'm looking at how are they doing it.
Right.
It's not, you know, why they were fighting, it's how they were fighting.
Yeah, I don't care why he punched this guy in the face.
Nobody cares. Have you seen those movies?
Yes.
That's right.
I'm trying to figure out, how did you get your leg to that position, and how did you shift him, and how did you do this, you know?
Well, since you don't have a tremendous amount of familiarity, perhaps, with the actual adventures of Shang-Chi, I think that, personally, you would probably really get a kick out of, especially the later issues in the original classic run up to 125, where things got really bad. But one of the things that was fascinating about the character for me that really attracted me was, you know, I grew up at a time like kind of the tail end of Bruce Lee and the beginnings of like Chuck Norris, but before Hong Kong cinema got really big.
Right.
She gets that sort of 80s, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme and Chuck Norris and a handful of others were the thing. And I was never really into the chop-socky genre in the States, but for some reason I was drawn to Master of Kung Fu. And the more I got into it, it was kind of a combination of amazing martial arts prowess and Eastern philosophy being espoused on Shang-Chi's part, and some of the weirdest ass characters in the world. I mean, Shang-Chi got to have a pantheon of villains that was every bit as colorful and ridiculous as the Avengers and the Justice League.
Right.
And a lot of it was about guys coming at him with all manner of weaponry, and how with just his body in most cases, and sometimes he'd like grab a handy shovel or a piece of brick or something, just as to augment, he could go toe-to-toe with these guys. Like, Bob, you would enjoy this one because he had no people hands.
Oh.
Oh, no.
The
no!
Razor Fist.
You know, anytime you gave anybody the name Fist, was already, you already knew they were going to be an awesome character.
Yeah, it really was.
Well, a lot
even,
of these...
even if you go back to even like He-Man, when they Fist, came up with Fisto, and then they had the samurai version of it, it was I don't remember Fisto's name, but I remember Fisto.
Well, and Bobby, a lot of this is kind of straight up, if not lifted, like definitely inspired by some like Shaw Brothers stuff.
Oh yeah! Every time I saw thumb through the book, it was like I've seen this movie. they didn't even try to hide it. It was obvious but that was what was so great about the Shaw Brothers and that Hong Kong Kung Fu theater era of the 70s is the villains in those movies were just as off the wall as what was showing up in the comics.
Oh, exactly. They were like straight out of the Japanese Iron Chef.
Oh, yeah.
The original chairman is the master of every evil dojo.
It's funny, the chairman now is Martin DeCasco.
Yeah.
Who's a martial arts action star? So it's like they took it to the next level of getting rid of the weird guy that looked like he wanted to kill all the martial artists and said, screw it, let's just hire a martial artist.
What, Mark DeCostas, what is it, nephew of Bruce Lee? What do they claim he is?
Well, he's supposed to be the
chairman. I don't even know anymore.
Yeah,
on the show, he's supposed
nephew,
to be the nephew
right.
of the original chairman, and that also makes that his second cousin is Captain Tennille from Most Extreme Elimination Challenge.
I'm not buying that he's the chairman.
Because we needed it. Because it was necessary for that to cross over.
Exactly, yeah. You had to have some connection to the original. That was the only way you were going to be able to stomach Bobby Flay. So,
goddamn Bobby Flay.
But... I think
is there an ongoing Bobby Flay thing that I'm just now learning about or something?
I mean, it's been going on for the length of Bobby Flay's life.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, fair enough.
That son of a bitch.
Bobby, I think this Bobby would really have enjoyed characters like Razor Fist, who wears a wrestling singlet, knee-high boots, and a luchador mask.
Of course he does.
The original, I think his left hand was a big... like a gigantic cutlass. Then the second Razor Fist, it was his right hand. But that wasn't enough, Bobby. The third and final Razor Fist, both hands were giant swords.
I mean, it makes it really hard to do just about anything.
Yeah, I mean,
I think this is why I think I had problems with a lot of these comics like that when they would create those kind of things. Because my obsession did not become how cool that character was or watching them fight. It then became, I don't care about this fight. I want to see their day-to-day life. I want to see how this guy wipes his butt. I want to see how this guy goes to Tom Thumb.
You know?
How does this guy thump a melon?
The second Razor Fist didn't have to have somebody cut his meat, but he'd have someone to pick it up with a fork for him.
That's right. That's right. Like, what?
But he cut his own cheese.
There are just so many weird...
But only on the cheese aisle at Tom Thumb.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, at that point, once you get two broadswords mounted to your hands, like, you're kind of bought into that thug life at that point. You can't really do anything else, right? Like, there's
your job qualification world goes way down.
Yeah.
Well, you know whose qualification goes way down is the guy who has to wipe his butt.
Well, that's
pretty much stuck to assassin and, like, sushi chef.
Or hibachi grill chef.
Landscaping.
Well, but isn't that more the, like, the benefits of finding a good, like, criminal mastermind to work for? Like, you get a 401k, exactly. You get a good health insurance package, and you get a guy to wipe your ass because you have nunchucks for hands. Like, that's definitely, like, in the package, right?
Okay, Bobby, I want a feasibility study on this one. Okay, there was a character known as, oh crap, we mentioned him earlier.
That's okay. I mean, we've got Bobby now.
Yeah, we got Bobby here now. Was it Dark Strider?
Yeah, it was Dark Strider. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Dark Strider?
Strider.
Strider, okay.
Yeah, Dark Strider. I think that was who we're looking for here. And, Shadow Stalker. Okay. Dark Strider was the one. Oh, get this, Bobby. This was pre-Mortal Kombat. Dark Strider had six arms.
Of course he did.
Six of them.
But Shadow Stalker was this jaundiced yellow character with a knot top that was, he used his hair to tie a crossbar so that on either side of his head, depending from this bar, were chains with spiked balls on them.
Because that was the coolest and most popular thing to do during the time of Kung Fu Theater, because those guys would put like blades in their ponytails and whatever, so I'd be whipping people across the face, and I was obsessed with it as a kid.
you would have loved this character. He's one of my favorites.
Let me tell you, I'm not even exaggerating. When I became a teenager, when I was still training, I grew a ponytail strictly because I was going to one day have a long braid that I could put like a ball bearing in it or a blade, and I was going to hit somebody in the face with it.
It was going to happen.
You know what was going to happen after that, Bobby? You'd have to have somebody wipe your ass.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. But no, when I was a kid, I took like rope, and I would like fix it to a hat or something so I could wear it on my head, and I would whip things with it. And it used to piss my dad off. He's like, would you stop hitting things with your rope head?
This is
and I'm like,
amazing.
But what made him mad is it wasn't even a weird thing of like, you know, he saw the same movie I did.
He knew
what I was doing. Yeah, he just was like annoyed with it. And
yeah, like, this is what you're emulating.
It was right, and I finally stopped because I whipped myself in the face and it hurt. Yeah. So I thought, well, this is dumb.
Yeah, you gotta be careful with that.
You were on your way to becoming a living weapon like Shang-Chi.
Exactly.
Or at least like
Shang-Chi. You know, one of the things I have to say that I love about that character, and I'm really kind of stoked, you know, because I know they've announced a movie.
Yeah.
And outside of finally getting a martial arts Marvel movie, because right now Doctor Strange is the closest thing to a martial arts Marvel flick as we have.
Mystic Arts,
well, yeah, but they're all monks and they're all training kind of kung fu style the way they do everything. It very much felt like an old kung fu movie.
Yeah.
And but what I'm interested to not only see that kind of character come to life is I want to see if they're going to let him run around barefooted.
Very good.
That guy was barefooted 24/7, never stumped his toe, never hurt himself.
Well, he's a master of he has total control over his body, Bobby.
Well, hold on. What I'm saying is that there's a point to that. Is it's a funny thing to look at because the first thing a lot of people think is when somebody's running around barefooted, they think, well, how are you running around on concrete? How are you in the snow? How are you doing this and that? And the stumping of the toes and, you know, because we
of the day. And it doesn't matter the temperature. I go outside barefooted, rain, snow. And my wife is always like, what is your problem? And it's because, you know, my feet have calloused over from fighting and being barefoot all the time. So it's a real thing. And I'm wanting to see, like, are they going to, like, water that down and say, well, nobody will buy into that. You know, like, I need to see him in his billowing pants and his bare feet. If not, it's a failure already.
We need the headband, the pre-Rambo headband. We need the red and yellow gi with the stylish circle pattern around the wrists and ankles.
I have a sneaking suspicion.
And it's got to periodically, it's got to fly open when he's jumping and stuff too, so you can see his abs and.
Oh yeah, you got to have that.
And at some point in the fight, it's got to get ripped off.
Yeah.
Because then he's got to do the Bruce Lee flex.
Well, exactly. Oh, for sure. I have a sneaking suspicion that we're going to get a little bit of that at probably at the beginning, and but by about halfway through, he's going to have that black.
He's going to go into the later, the Bruce Lee Game of Death kind of jumpsuit.
Yeah. So, guys, while I have you, I told Cole earlier I had some news that could possibly upset and enrage him. And I would like to, Bobby, you probably already know this, as you know, as much as your finger is on the pulse of Hollywood, like you're going to give it the dim mock, since we're on Kung Fu. But there's been some rumblings on the internet right now. It came out of an interview, I think I saw it on Screen Rant, that there's the possibility that because Fu Manchu is kind of a racially diverse character at this point, can't really use him, that the father in question of Shang-Chi, they're looking at possibly using the Mandarin.
Okay.
Have you heard anything? Is Bobby still there, or did he sneak up behind me? Bobby, you behind me? Okay. We might have lost Bobby for a second. We
might have lost Bobby here. I'll have to see if I can dial him back in.
That's all right. Yeah, so they're saying that, which I understand why they would do something like that.
Oh, no. He may have just lost his signal or something.
Yeah, he might come back.
All right.
You can't. You don't ever know where Bobby is. Like I said, no. I live 14 hours away. He could be behind me right now.
That's very true. This all could have been a feint.
Right. I get it, but also, Cole, we have a Mandarin. That Mandarin's name is portrayed by Ben Kingsley.
I don't know. I think maybe you could, and it would be paying tremendous fanboy service to the anti-Trevor fan base.
They can kiss my ass. I'm sorry.
Is that you have the real Mandarin, who is the real threat behind. And I'm not going to spend time on this issue talking about my one glaring issue with Trevor.
Is that he's too good. He's too pure for this world. That's your issue, right?
And Bobby was officially disconnected, so we're going to try to bring him back.
I got him.
So, no, it's a non-issue to this issue, but there's a plot hole there that glares large. But I can see where they might want to go that route. I would hope that they don't.
Yeah.
I would hope that they are strong enough to say that some stereotypes, unfortunately, are based on real truths. And sometimes the most outrageous among us become the stereotypical face of an ethnicity or a group or what have you.
Right.
And, you know, you could kind of mix it up a bit, or you could just simply establish that Fu Manchu is so freaking old that he just never bothered to change his look. And, like, you know, Shang, even before he left, that was literally the breaking point. And Shang's like, Dad, come on.
Good day. This is Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, we got Bobby's
call right now. He's being prepped by the Jedi Council.
How do we get rid of Bobby on that call?
There,
we go.
Bobby's gone now. We're professionals. It's a free podcast.
That's right.
Suck it up. Good. I'm glad we got Bobby on for a little while, at least. That's good. We got, you know, but we still got, you know, we still got some time here, Cole.
Oh, and I want to point out, whether Bobby makes it back on or not, the one issue, I actually found the issue I was lamenting over last, the issue of Master of Kung Fu that I couldn't not conjure last issue of this show, and it turned out it was number 102, could be number 100 where they put the damn thing I was looking for, that has the imagery of all the foes and allies. And in the actual body of that story, Shang is wearing stylish blue slippers.
Oh, well, those are his company slippers.
Yeah, probably due in no small part to the fact that he kicks a guy through a stained glass window. So it would be a good idea to have something on your feet at that point. But
yeah, he was having company.
Yeah, that's true.
So I want to talk for a second, because we were talking about the peak. The peak of...
Of human perfection.
Right. So Shang-Chi is... When it comes to human beings, Shang-Chi is the epitome, the apex of human conditioning. And like you said, that comes from discipline. And what we were supposed to believe is the same thing that we were supposed to believe about Bruce Lee. In the sense that it is attainable. Right?
Yeah, it is possible for someone to achieve this. It's not outside the realm of possibility.
Right. This is an attainable thing. Now, what is an attainable thing?
Hello.
Oh,
there we go. We got Bobby back.
He's back. I was
sorry about that. I'm not sure what
Bobby.
Happened. It just suddenly went all disconnected.
I was afraid you kind of were sneaking up behind me again. That's what happens every time the phone drops.
I was just going to appear somewhere.
Yeah, it's just under the thing. So we were talking about how
Shang-Chi was wearing slippers in this one issue.
Cole decided to look up the one time that Shang-Chi wore slippers.
The one time that somebody, some foot fetish group jumped in and says, "Hey, don't ruin those pretty feet."
Well, I said they were company slippers, right?
Signed Bobby B. I don't know, that's a weird in the letters page.
You know, it's funny. I wonder if you go back and research, like, on... Like, if he was in, like, going to see the Avengers or whatever, if they'd, like... It'd be the opposite. Like, can you please put some shoes on before you come in? You've been walking around outside all nasty.
It's true. Tracking mud in here.
So...
Yeah, it's like an opposite Asian thing. It's like, you know, you go into the houses, and like my house, same way as typically, you have to take your shoes off. Now when you go to... He goes to anybody's house, he's got to put shoes on.
His soles are 3 inches thick.
Exactly.
So we were talking about the fact that he's that in the terms of comic books, in terms of Marvel, he is spoken of as like the peak human condition. What is that for you, Bobby, as a martial arts instructor? Like, what does that mean? Do you know what I mean? Like,
it's funny. In every discipline, it has a little bit different understanding. But like with him, even though they call him Master of Kung Fu, I have an inkling that they have probably made him more of an amalgam of everything.
Right.
And, you know, if you go and look at like the old Shaolin monks and videos of them training, where they're standing there holding their arms out, let them break stuff over their arms or hit them in the shins or in the legs or whatever. There's two different trains of thought. There's the conditioning of somebody who can take the punishment and the abuse and keep going. But there's also the peak condition of somebody who has the technical skill and speed and strength and all that stuff to make them a better fighter.
Okay.
But you technically need both. So if you can't take a punch, you can't really fight. But you can take a punch and not be able to fight.
All right, that's a good point, yeah.
So, you know, I know people that can get hit all day, but they can't fight back. But if I can throw a fancy jumping spinning hook kick, but if you punch me in the face and I knock me out, I can no longer throw that kick. So, like, when I teach class, we train. There's days where they stand there and just get hit.
And I remember those days.
It's conditioning the body to get hit.
Okay, do not take classes from Bobby Blakey.
I remember one of those days where he just threw me on the ground a bunch. I remember that.
Yeah, it's like with Muay Thai, there's a day they take a kendo stick, which is basically a wooden sword kind of thing. That has some give to it, and they were in Muay Thai the other day, and they had to stand there and just hit themselves in the shins.
condition their bare shins so that you use them to block, they're prepared to block a kick flying at you. So there, it depends on the person writing the character or how they're looking at it, because sometimes they just mean something as simple as their physical appearance. They have ripped abs, they have muscles, you know, they're the Van Damme types. But you can have somebody like a Seagal type who's not that persona, even more so now, but is in top physical condition in relation to a Saikido.
Is he, though? I not to take a sidetrack, but...
I don't know if he is now, but I'm saying, in general, he was never the ripped abs guy. But even at his peak, he was still able to whoop somebody's ass with his Aikido because his proficiency and his skill level was off the charts. He just didn't have the physical appearance.
Okay. So,
you know, there's a thing that I always tell my students in relation to this exact topic is you have people that are really good at power and aggression, and they have the heart and they can fight, but they have no finesse. And then you have people that are wispy and they throw super high kicks and they're pretty to look at and watch your stuff.
Thank you.
But they're not as effective.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate
and then you have
that.
The people down the middle that's usually the three or four people out of 10 that have both. They can throw a really pretty kick but still knock you out with it.
So would you say that Bruce Lee fell into that realm of like
my whole
striking
theory,
that whole balance?
He had that whole balance, but it's another thing is Bruce Lee was not a really pretty kicker, if you go for that point. Like, he could throw the kick, but if you watch some of his kicks, he had a stiff style to him, but the way he moved, he had the proficiency.
So it wasn't as graceful as Bobby Blakey would like.
Well, I don't know. I'm not going to say
that. You got notes
but
for Bruce Lee?
If you take somebody like a Scott Adkins.
Yes.
Which may not be mainstream guy, but he was in Doctor Strange. But
I'm on board.
He's
I'm
somebody
board.
That, yeah, he is somebody that he could throw these beautiful kicks, and you believe he would kill you because there's that power behind him, that style, and he has the ripped physique. He looks like the perfect killing fighting machine. But then you look at somebody, say, an Osamu Hung.
Yeah.
Who's a little round, rotund man.
Yeah, big people's
Jackie
look
at him,
Chan.
Yeah, you look at him and he looks like the guy that might come and fix your plumbing or something, but he is just as proficient.
Yeah, he will fix your plumbing. I'll tell you right now, he'll fix your
plumbing. Oh, yeah, but no, he can still jump and flip
yeah.
and kick and twist, and he's not as pretty on certain things, but he's effective.
But from the, you know, because Shang-Chi was very much modeled on Bruce Lee, at least in the physicality, as somebody who is steeped in martial arts entertainment, I feel like that what they were trying to go for is the most mysterious and incredible aspects of Bruce Lee the man.
Right.
In modeling Shang-Chi on him, like the stuff where you see these just miraculous feats that he was able to do. Like, I mean, there are guys that just last year died from a death punch.
Right.
A timed death punch that timed out exactly what Bruce Lee said it would.
He's like the Nostradamus of killing
yeah.
you with his own punches.
But, well, and that's one of those running – that's a funny martial arts joke anyway. Because, like, I've been doing this for years. I mean, I might go to prison someday, but, like, I'll do something to somebody at class. And then I'll jokingly be like, "You're gonna die in 3 years," and I walk away.
My favorite thing is imagining you as what was the guy's name in Con Air? What was
I actually did it,
like Nick Cage's Nick Cage's character in Con Air, Everett Cole. What was his name? Was it Everett Cole? It was some awful like Nick Cage name.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah,
bullshit. But you actually, that's you. Because you actually got into a bar fight and your hands are deadly weapons.
They come to me and like, a guy died. I'm like, I haven't seen that guy in 3 years. He goes, yeah, but we have notes that you punched him and told him in 3 years he would die.
You wrote on a napkin now. That he was going to die in 3 years and signed it Bobby Blakey.
And, see,
and
the problem is, since you both know me, I have a tendency that I'll do a joke or something, but I don't go and finish the punchline. So I'll tell somebody
just,
I do that. I don't go back and tell them I'm joking.
Oh, yeah.
you know, so now they're just wondering. Like, I had a parent one time, and a kid come to me, and she said he's kind of freaked out. I'm like, what happened? He said, he said something about you hitting him, and he was going to die in 2 weeks or something. And I was like, oh, good Lord. That was like, oh, that was 2 weeks ago. Yeah,
oh,
bring
shit.
Him here.
Is he still alive? Is he still alive? Because we need to do something right now.
Yeah, his
now.
Time was, he was within hours. If I hadn't told him, it was the end.
That was it. You know, all over, buddy.
You're able to...
I mean, but it's funny. In all the Bruce Lee stuff kind of amalgamed with all the Shaw Brothers Kung Fu stuff, I believe was really what formed the whole Shang-Chi character and also his evolution.
Yes.
Because if you look at some of the later versions of him, he seemed to really latch more onto some of the later styles and some of the later movies and
yeah, he
the way
becomes...
they did him, just at least from the drawings and stuff.
Well, he's been very modernized because at one point, you know, the character disappears for a while after the 80s, and then Marvel realizes what they've got. They bring him back, and Andy heard me whine about this last time, is he's got this stupid, like, armband dragon tattoo out of the blue, which is so against everything the character was. It's like, if you had ever read any of the source material before you went to designing the new look, that wouldn't be there. The sole reason it's there is because that's the contemporary what fanboys imagine a martial artist looks like.
Well, isn't he wearing like a onesie now?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, nowadays
he's
like a
suit onesie, now.
Like a leotard.
Yeah, he's moved into the jumpsuit look in more recent years. And as near as I can tell, the tattoo disappeared. So I'm glad they realized.
And the jumpsuit's very, even though I think the jumpsuit's what, like black, red and grayish color, but it's very reminiscent of the whole Game of Death Bruce Lee thing still.
Yeah. Oh, yes, very much. Yeah, he's gone.
But they gave
that.
Him shoes.
Yeah, they did give him shoes.
You did not
see,
like
that. See, that's the whole point. That's where you lost me.
Bobby, I'm going to refer you back to, was it Master Kung Fu number 97, in which he is wearing, well, actually in 97, he actually has to go to a dinner party. But in 102, he's wearing those stylish slippers.
Okay, but well, earlier, I will have to say, after doing research in issue number 55, on the cover, he is wearing Kung Fu shoes. As
but
he breaks
issue
to a fifth.
102 on the cover, he's kicking ninja-looking guys with clubs and pistols, with bare feet.
With
so
each of his singular toes, there's five guys getting five toes.
It's his multi-one-toe punch.
You know what I will say? I will say something, and this is since we're discussing his shoes and his clothing and whatnot. Like, there's been okay. So I'm a stickler for our uniforms in class, right? We have them a certain way. You fold them a certain way. You tie your belt a certain way. You know, you can't have a shirt untucked underneath it dangling out. I want to see a pair of pants hanging out the bottom of your other pants. And so I will say what drives me nuts is sometimes you'll see him, like, in a nice hand block position. His uniform's folded properly. Then the next one, he's wearing his uniform where it's, like, it's a size too small. And it's opened up. It's purposely opened up. It's big everywhere except in the middle. He no longer crosses it. He wears it straight, like he just put his jacket on and tied his belt.
Yeah.
And it's also you can see his chest crevice and his abs.
Well, see, and then the thing is,
I'm not comfortable with chest crevice, by the way.
You didn't like that? I thought that would make kind of fit the show better.
Yeah, I mean, it does. Number one, it absolutely does fit the show better. Number two, I'm still not very comfortable with the term chest crevice.
Okay, fair enough. So I will say that looking at a lot of the covers and the pictures that they draw them in the older comics drives me bananas as an instructor. I'm like, fix your uniform, fool.
Yes.
Like, it's different if it's mid-fight. Like, if he's mid-fight, you know, we fight in here, our belts fall off sometimes, and most people that don't tie them properly, you know, we don't say, stop, put your belt on. I snatch your belt up, I hold it. Finish your fight, then fix your uniform. That kind of stuff happens. But when you're just standing in line and I look at somebody and they look like an unmade bed, I'm just like, come on, man. Get your life together.
But check this out, Bobby. This would probably drive you nuts. Issues 104 through 115, I think, he, or even further, he's shirtless on every single cover.
Well, that's really just trying to bring sex appeal to the character.
I guess it is.
I mean, but you can't always
but see,
be
that's
shirted.
The whole thing is, like, his whole life, he's very much, like, outside, even though he doesn't have knife hands, he has still cemented himself in a position where he can't do a lot of things. Because during that time, it was a very big thing of no shoes, no shirt, no service.
That's so true. There was very little service.
He couldn't go to the store. He couldn't go to the restaurant.
Couldn't go to the Tom Thumb and help his buddy thump a melon.
No, Tom Thumb wouldn't let you in back. I worked there. They wouldn't let you in if you weren't wearing shoes or a shirt.
Okay, Bobby, I've got one for you. Master Kung Fu number 84. He's, like, knee-deep in the water. Leopard cultists from the foreground, crocodiles from the background, and his gi is perfect.
That is perfection. And the guy's mustache that is hanging out with him.
Yeah, Blackjack Tar had the most epic mustache, and he's cosplaying as Roger Moore in Live and Let Die.
Sure.
The only problem with that cover that I see, aesthetic wise.
Uh-huh.
Is he had such big sleeves that the first time he would sniff, he would scoop up water in that sleeve of his, and it's going to pull him underwater, and he's going to die by crocodile.
That's his strategy. He gets in that crocodile.
Yeah, he will fight you from within the crocodile. And those his Wonder Woman wristlets aren't going to help him with the buoyancy issue.
Now, what? So,
I have a question about that. I'm glad you brought his little wristlets up.
Yeah.
So, when you're training to be at peak condition, you're training your entire body to be able to deflect and block and whatever.
Well,
if you're at peak condition and you're not wearing anything on your shins or your body or your legs, but you need something on your wrist, did he have some carpal tunnel? Did he not do proper training?
I can answer that. He moves so fast. So throughout the history of him in comics, he's had various metal wristbands, varying in length from like full on forearm bracers to just like wristlets, right?
Yeah.
They are for blocking bullets. That he can move so fast.
He's pulling a Wonder Woman.
That he can block bullets with his wristlets. Which brings me to a question I would like to ask Bobby.
Really quick, on the wristlets, there is an actual cover where a couple of frogmen-looking guys are coming at him. And one of them has thrown a knife that is being deflected off the very wristlet.
Yeah.
And hurling in a perfect trajectory toward the heart of his other opponent, whose knife is still in his hand.
Sure.
And there's some word bubble. I can't remember what the exact dialogue was, but it was something to the effect of, you know, way to go, jackass. Now I'm going to die.
That's what it said.
I don't think that's what it said because of the comics code, but that's what they wanted it to say.
So his way to achieve this level of petra-human speed, or his ability to, you know, he has, you know, the strength to overcome five guys fighting at once, or, you know, whatever it is because he can channel, he's mastered his chi and can channel it, Bobby. So question one is, can you do that?
Well, it depends on what you're asking me what I can do, because chi, using your chi and mastering your chi plays into a lot of different elements. It depends on kind of the discussion we're having. So there are some people that believe that channeling your chi is similar to pushing out that energy and almost borderline, you know, Street Fighter fireball bullshit. Then you have...
That's not real?
Can you do that?
I can't. You can't discuss that with a normal.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, sorry.
With a normal?
But the other, like the real training of chi is all about center and balance. And understanding your chi and everything coming from your center. So it depends on the style. Once again, a lot of these comes down to the philosophies of the different arts.
Okay.
So where, like, Muay Thai doesn't discuss your chi, and it doesn't discuss this and your center and this. It's all about brute force and taking legs out and elbowing people in the face, that kind of. Taekwondo is about your center. Jiu-Jitsu and Judo is about your center, where a lot of them are about your centers of gravity. The others are about your center of balance, the center of power, center of focus.
So you're telling me the one-inch punch is, like, bullshit.
No, the one-inch punch is actually real.
Really? It's
about,
can you do that?
About, excuse me, I can, in fact, do the one-inch punch.
Damn it!
But
I know.
It's everybody I've ever seen that do it does it differently.
Okay.
And there's different levels of outcome. Like, some people, they can do it and it's extreme power. Some it's about extreme speed. Some is just, you know, force kind of thing. You know, where
some of them it's chi.
It hits them.
Straight chi,
some
baby.
Of it's chi. Sometimes it's just a chi thing. Oh.
Ain't nothing but a chi thing, baby.
My favorite, though, is the very European Swiss chi.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's got
yes.
holes all in
that
it.
That was a little
very
harder to
rare.
There's a lot of holes in that theory, so it's a little harder to
accomplish. And there are.
Thank you.
And yes,
God bless.
Yes,
you,
I sir. Went there. Thank you.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Again, with the martial arts prowess, you just there you were.
You're like an assassin, but
it was like the 1-inch joke.
That's what they call
that's
me.
What I call my penis.
Yeah, thank God everybody goes to the same place. We all go to that bar.
I was actually going to take the high road and not go that place with the 1-inch discussion.
I know it's
but
been a while since you've been on the show, Bobby, but it ain't been that long.
Yeah. Now that we're having a support group.
Now that we're discussing it, I have some things to get off my chest.
Or off your groin.
Oh, man. Well, we need to start wrapping this up.
Yes,
our hour's almost up here. We gotta let Bobby go back to trading the future of Skull Island's enforcers.
I've already finished training them for today. Now I've got to go back to drawing people punching each other.
Tough life.
You got to go draw Evil Ernie now.
That's right. I've got.
I'm in a
kind of a quandary of artwork with them. I'm dealing with Chaos, Star Wars, Ninja Turtles, and Fallout all at the same time.
Wow. Just don't get them confused, you know. All of a sudden there's like, some kind of like Teenage Mutant Ninja
like
Turtle.
Evil,
but no.
Evil Raphael.
Yeah, exactly. With the, like,
I draw like just Splinter in a bikini.
Lady April.
With big bat wings. And
speaking
horns.
Of, Bobby,
yeah.
plug away, man.
Yes.
Plug away.
What am I
on
plugging?
Your stuff.
Oh, I didn't know if we were still talking about the 1-inch thing. thank you very much. I'll be here all week.
Good joke.
I guess the only thing I really plug now is our review website, HollywoodMatrimony.com, where we post news and reviews for movies and comic books and all that kind of stuff and giveaways. And we do a Facebook live show every Sunday, me and my better half, or the lady in charge, my wife.
Right.
And then you go to Big Dumb Gorilla Studios on Facebook as my art stuff. So find us at a convention, that kind of thing. That's pretty much it. I don't.
So Bobby,
you want to come to class.
Will you be at our ArlingCon in Arlington, Texas? And
I will in fact be at ArlingCon. I've already got my table and I will be set up there selling stuff that people do not want.
And the Rancor Pit will be there as well. Eddie and I will be doing a panel on the Star Wars. So we look forward to seeing you there.
When is that?
That is coming soon.
June 13th?
Over Father's Day?
Somewhere in that time period, I think.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
I can pinpoint
my birthday and Father's Day is all in the same area, and I believe it's that weekend.
Yeah,
because
that
next week is Geek Fest.
That's right.
The 21st and 22nd at the Boonshoff Museum of Discovery. At which
and where's
point,
that at?
That is in sunny Dayton, Ohio.
And that is where you'll see.
Oh, nobody's going there.
No.
You'll see the first incarnation of Don't Lose Your Geek Card outside of the state of Texas in the history of the game.
Is that allowed?
I have sanctioned it.
The Pope, the white smoke has come out of the Basilica.
That's right.
We are allowed to do it.
I sent a white raven to Ohio. That would just be provocative for the people who are pissed off about Game of Thrones. I'm pissed off because I haven't seen it. So.
I'm the king of the north.
You know,
now,
I didn't see a problem with it. To me, everything went the way I figured it should go.
I'm just now watching Westworld Season 2, and it's fan-damn-tastic. So.
Holy shit, I forgot all about that.
I guess I'm going to give it another chance because I got about 3 or 4 episodes into Season 2 of Westworld, and I gave up.
Out of Season 2, it went banana crackers, man. This is now a Westworld podcast because it goes completely off the rails, man. It's great.
Off the locomotive
rails. I have the Blu-ray of it, so I'll give it another chance. And
yeah, by... I was kind of hooked after the first couple episodes, but by episode three, you'll really be into it. You'll really be
you
into
don't know
it.
What I'll be into.
I mean, I kind of do.
It's no Babe Pig in the City.
What is? What's Air Bud, dude? There's no other Air Bud.
Thankfully, nothing is.
All right, Cole, what do we got to plug?
Well, before we do that, I just have to pose a question to our guest.
Yes, sir.
Where do you stand on that level of the living weapon? I mean, not yourself, obviously.
Because no one stands on me.
Well, no one mounts you, to be sure.
Exactly. Yeah. Do you mean like the terminology of calling somebody that, or the actual
achieving that level?
Here's the thing: it's a hard thing to really say, because like there's so many martial. I don't even want to call them martial arts. There's so many people that train in a martial art.
Yeah.
Even black belt levels that are far from anything that I would refer to as a weapon, because of the. There's a lot of schools out there that the more traditional people or the older school type schools kind of refer to as belt factories. And if you pay them enough, you get a belt.
Yeah.
And like I talked to somebody today, matter of fact, it was a younger kid probably in his 20s, and I was introduced, and he told me yeah, he trained in Taekwondo too. I'm like, oh yeah. He goes, yeah, I got my black belt. And then I took some time off and never went back. And I'm like, my first question to people is I never try to insult somebody and say, oh, there's no way you earned a black belt at your age. I just say, how long did it take you to get it? And you can gauge a school by how fast somebody earns that level.
Yeah.
Because the considerment of the public is if you're a black belt, you've kind of got that master. You're a black belt of karate. Oh, he must know it.
Yeah, you have to be the...
Yeah, and a real martial artist looks at it as like you got your black belt. Now you're smart enough to learn something.
Exactly. You've achieved. So, you're like the sushi master who's completed the 3 years on rice.
Yeah, it's like I compare it all to like normal school life. Is you go through, you know, your levels of belts are like going through elementary school, junior high school, college. Graduating college is getting your black belt. Now you've learned just enough to go out in the real world and actually start learning something that's going to be useful to you.
Yeah.
And when somebody tells me, like this individual I talked to, and he goes, I got mine in 3 years. I'm like, okay, you know, we have a 3-year minimum to get mine. And he goes, how did that take to get yours? I said, it took me 7 years. And he's like, oh, why'd it take so long? I said, because that's what it takes. <You know? laughs> I've seen people get them in 4. I've seen people get them in 10 to 12. And it doesn't really make a difference of the school, but it is the individual, and they're a byproduct of the school. So if you have people that are rushing them in, I've had students come to me that were black belts that weren't any better than some of my intermediate people, and I've had people that come to me as green belts that are better than some of my upper belts. It's all depend on where they're training from. So going back to the living weapon mentality, you have to be pretty hardcore training for me to buy into that. You know, somebody that trains all the time really has that knowledge. And usually it's the person that says that won't admit to it. They never say, it's like, oh, yeah, I think of myself as a master or a living weapon. Those are the people to watch out for.
Yeah. Well, I think
call me master because you know it annoys me.
Oh, absolutely. I will call you master.
You that because you whoop my ass multiple times. Let's just be
real. But see, there's a thing about that is like, it annoys me on a funny level with you guys. So I'm not mad about it, but there's other people that refer to me that out of respect.
Yeah.
I don't want to be called that.
Yeah. In fact, we know that you don't want to be called that, which is why we do it.
And that's why y'all live to still get to call me that, because I know why you're doing it.
Or at least as far as we know, because I'm pretty sure you gave me a death punch.
Well, he's got it on it. He's got a dead man switch on both of our death punches, Cole.
Yeah.
He's got a dead man switch
on
him.
You'll get a random email from me one day that's just with a subject line that says death punch. And I'll write in there when you need to start getting your affairs in order.
There'll be like a countdown clock.
Yeah, we're going to get an email with one of those counter websites that says, like, it's just running down to a time. It just says death
punch. Yeah, it won't even
clock.
Have anything. It'll just, you'll open it, it'll just start going, it'll be like 24. It'll be like, dun, dun, dun.
All right, Cole, plug yourself. Let's get out of here.
I just want in closing say that Bobby, you bring up some very valid points, and I think ultimately the Western concept of mastering the martial arts became very skewed once we were introduced to it as a culture. And as I mentioned to Shang-Chi, he doesn't go looking for the fight, but he's prepared for it when it arrives. The fight always comes looking for him, unless he's going after Fu Manchu. But the other thing is, I think at the core of the genuine philosophy, and correct me if I'm wrong, is it's not about training to kick ass. It's about the discipline that we talked about earlier. To have the ability to kill a man with your bare hands, but the discipline not to.
Yeah, it's about balance. And it is that old cliche of we train to fight so we don't have to fight.
Yeah.
Because that builds confidence and balance to where I don't get into a conflict because I know I don't need to.
Exactly.
Where a lot of people get into it because they think they have to show how tough they are or whatever.
That's another reason we call you master, because we know you could beat the crap out of us for ribbing you, and you don't. And we have to continually, you know, poke that bear. And the bear is far.
I will warn you, if I ever show up to it, if I show up to a show or something and my hair is disheveled and I'm twitching.
Okay, that's the time not to. It's like, if he's, look, it's Bobby.
If Bobby has a 5-foot braid coming off the top of his head with 7 knives attached at the end, you might want to leave him. You might be Bobby Blake.
Yeah, I was going to say, or
I've got my rope hat on.
All right, well, we're going to go ahead and close out now.
If you own a rope hat, you might be Bobby Blake.
If you rode a rope hat up and you sported a mullet, and I've seen it, you might be Bobby Blakey.
I'm gonna see, make me a new one.
You ought to wear one to just make a rope hat for that, because only you and I would get the joke at Arlington.
I'm just gonna walk through the room. Nobody would notice because of all the cosplay. Nobody would question it. They'd be like, "Hey, did you see that guy with the rope hat?"
Dude, you should sell rope hats. Why don't you sell rope hats?
But
Everybody would buy a rope hat. I have to set it up
to where I can just kick a door open, throw a loud TI, whip my rope hat, and just walk out and say nothing.
Yeah, and then everybody will want them.
Just walk into the center of the con, Bobby, and yell, "Rope hat demonstration." 3 minutes of rope hat demonstration. Then, walk back to your table and sit down.
I'll start passing out cards and say, "You can get your rope hats here."
That's right. Come to my tea shop. So you can buy your rope hats.
The fact that I'm a full time artist / martial artist means I'm poor.
That's right. All right, Cole.
All right. Yeah. With that, we were going to say goodbye to Shang-Chi as the living weapon. I don't know if we did it justice or not. We had a lot of fun regardless. But also use this as encouragement. Go and find the Master Kung Fu on the buy, or find back issues. And especially in the 80s through the 120s, amazing, fun stuff. And if you're like me, you'll get hooked and you'll be trying to find those other back issues. You'll buy the same damn ones over because you don't remember what the hell you do and don't have. And just have fun with those books. And we're coming to you from the Jedi Cole Universe at JediCole.com. You can write to us at JCUmail@yahoo.com. And find myself and Mr. Eddie Medina the first and third Sundays of every month on DallasOnAir.com for the live streaming, the Rancor Pit Live, coming to you from downtown Dallas on the first and third Sundays of every month from 10:30 to 11:30. And on the third Sundays of those months, be sure and check out my other show, the Isle of Toys, AISLE. And excuse me, that is 9:30 to 10:30 a.m., where I talk about a bewildering variety of toys with special guests.
That's right. And like I was saying, the 621, 622 Geek Fest, Geek Prom, and Geek Fest, Boonshoff Museum of Discovery, like we said, sanctioned game shows, not to mention the fact that it's a convention inside of a functioning museum with a zoo and archaeological exhibits and science exhibits. It's friggin' great.
And Kelly Long, for God's sake. And
Kelly damn Long is going to be there, which is, you can't miss. It's a win-win, win-win, win-win.
Be sure and check out. You'll find myself, Eddie, Zach from the Ranker Pit Live, and Rope Hat himself on June 15th at ArlingCon the UTA campus at the Student Center at UTA, 15th of June. So be sure and check that out. Go to Convention Awareness Project Texas, cap-tx.info, and you can see the full listing of the balance of over 100 conventions that are happening or will have happened in the Lone Star State this year. Keep it 100, Texas.
There you go. Bobby, thank you so much for joining us, man. We give you a hard time, but that was actually really insightful.
Yes, it was.
What else am I doing with my time?
That's true.
On Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle trading cards, apparently.
But thank you, Bobby.
That's right.
For real, thank you.
No, thank y'all for having me. It was fun.
It was fun. All right, join us next week for more Hey Kids Comics. Cole, say goodnight.
Good night, everybody.
If you got two swords for hands, you might not be allowed in Tampa.
Hashtag thumping cantaloupes.
Ah, gross. All right, good night.
Good night, everybody.